This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for how you have helped us through these 7 weeks, from the very first week even up until now. Thank you for the work that we have been seeing that has been done in the hearts of your people. Thank you for the awakening. Thank you for the help that everyone has received, even to be witnesses, you know, of you wherever they are. Witnesses of you at their workplace, witnesses of you, you know, at their household and family level, witnesses of you wherever they find themselves. Father, we pray that even as we are going into this lesson, we pray that we receive help again, receive utterance, receive direction, receive your breath upon every word that will be spoken, that at the end of this ministration, that there will be a fresh awakening, there will be a fresh energization of every heart and every soul. Energy will be put into every heart. Power will enter every soul, even to stand as ambassadors and be your witnesses again. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. For the past 7 weeks, we've been on the theme, Vision of the Harvest in the Latter Time. And today we are on lesson 7, Christian Workers and Discipleship Pattern for the Harvest. Our text, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew 16, verse 18. Want to go, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 5, 13 to 15. Want to go? Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We have two objectives this morning, quickly. And the first objective is to show the attitudes and examples laid by early Christian workers and disciples to witnessing the gospel. And secondly, we want to give visibility to the fields of harvest around a believer and how he ought to labor towards those around him. Can we say amen? All right, the introduction. The Lord is committed to filling the earth with his glory, both geographically and within every heart. Though darkness may seem to prevail, God's answer is not apart from his people. His strategy is his church, through which he reaches the ends of the earth and reveals his light to the world. Let's see Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3. It said, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. You can see Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's workforce on the earth consists of believers who submit to being filled and yielding to the dealings of the Spirit. The process of discipleship, the leadership of the church, and the continual pursuit of growth, accountability, and transformation. While there is a distinct role of the evangelist within the fivefold ministry, every believer is called to witness the gospel in everyday life. Believers who have become Christian workers must remain sensitive to represent the Lord and not their own selfish interest in every relationship, an encounter with others. This awareness and readiness creates room for the Holy Spirit to lead and empower believers to uphold righteousness and effectively, you know, minister God's love and truth to those around them. The believer's progress in the truth makes him better effective at reaching people because he witnesses from a personal knowledge and experience of the truth they have partaken of. So basically, you know, what we are looking at in the introduction is God's desire to fill the earth, you know, with the knowledge of his glory. You know, according to Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14, it said that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as what? How does water cover the sea? That's the question to ask. Is it partially? Is it totally? Meaning that what we call sea is the body of water, right? So what God is basically saying is that there will be no portion of earth that will be void of my glory. There will be no portion of earth that, you know, will be a wilderness where the knowledge of my glory is concerned. That word is a prophecy. When our daddy in the house, you know, begins to say that prophecy is hanging upon us, that's one major prophecy. It is in the very, very heart of God that the knowledge of the glory of God, we do what? Will cover the earth as waters cover the sea. And one thing about God is that his word cannot be broken. Only question that you can ask concerning this is not that will this thing happen. The only question is that will it be in your generation? The question that this knowledge will cover the earth is, will happen. It will definitely happen. However, there is also a responsibility on the people upon whom it will happen. That if we see this prophecy and we want to bring it down in our generation, there is a labor, there is a heart labor, there is a heart posture, there is a response we must generate unto God, even as an assembly, even as a people, and individually. There is a distinct role of the evangelist, you know, in the fivefold ministry. You know, we have the pastors, we have the teachers, we have the prophet, you know, we have the apostles, we have the evangelist. However, you know, there is the responsibility to evangelize hanging on every one of us. You know, that place that says that when Paul was telling Timothy that do the work of an evangelist. Meaning that as believers, we can do what? We can do the work of an evangelist. We can be people. Say, but watch thou in all things, 2 Timothy 4:5, endure afflictions. No, when you say watch thou in all things, is this commandment peculiar to certain people? Is it peculiar to certain people? That, oh, it's only pastors that should watch in all things. It's only when you are leading a church that you should watch in all things. So when they say, but watch thou in all things, should you as a believer watch in all things? Endure afflictions. No, when you see people say, ah, that's the pastor's cross to bear. As for me, you know, you see people say many things. No, many things are flying online. People saying that I never enlisted to be a soldier. I don't want to be a baby girl Christian. Just enjoying life. All these soldier cross things I don't have. No, but we know that Apostle Paul said that there's no way you are going to walk with the Lord and you will not suffer persecution. There's no way you walk with the Lord. You say, if you are heirs with Christ. Say, if you suffer. Say, suffer. Mean that there are certain levels of suffering that we'll all go through. Even because you are a believer. 2 Timothy 4:5. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. How many of you here as believers, you know you have a ministry? Let me see your hands up. People not raise up their hands. When you hear ministry, what you are thinking of is starting a church. No. Ephesians chapter 4, talking about the work of the fivefold ministry. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So the saints are supposed to do what? So do you have a ministry? The reason why we have been having this teaching for the past 6 weeks is to bring to awareness that relationships are not ordinary. Relationships can be either with people or with organizations. Every single relationship, everywhere you find yourself, is not ordinary. There's a reason why God brought somebody into your life. There's a reason why you are walking where you are walking. There's a reason why you are living where you are living. There's a reason why that neighborhood you are staying in, you are there. There's a reason why the people that gave birth to you are your parents. God never does anything just because he just wants to do things. But there are behind the scenes reasons, you know, that is attached to every one of these relationships. You being here in Love Seal Church has a reason. The company of friends you have in Love Seal has a reason. That bus you entered has a reason. That school you went to has a reason. So your life is not just happenstance. Your life is not just, you know, as it comes and as it goes. Your life is intentional. Can we say my life is intentional? All my relationships have their reasons. Everywhere I find myself, there is a purpose. I was just reading scriptures and I noticed, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 11, that the people that started the church of Antioch were not pastors. Acts chapter 11. The early church, they were used to persecution, and persecution was always scattering them here and there. A scattering had happened in Acts chapter 9. A persecution had happened, Acts chapter 9, by reason of who? Stephen's death. Paul consenting, right? Another one here, Acts chapter 11. Say, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution, see, referring to that one, that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as what? Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word none but unto the what? The Jews only. And some of them were what? Men of Cyprus. Were any of the apostles here? Was Peter in this group of people that were scattered? Was John here? Was James here? Said, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. The next verse. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was what? In Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that should go as far as Antioch. So these men, through their scattering, they began to preach. And before you knew it, they began to gather. Before you knew it, word reached them in Jerusalem that some people are already as far as Antioch. Something started there. You know, it's just a sense that when certain people go to certain places, the first thing that should be in your mind, you know, when you go, you want to hide. They should not say my own is too much. They should not say that this one. They just, I'm just a normal person. No. These people, they went out and they were preaching the gospel. There was an understanding that they had that what I carry, what I have experienced, what I have witnessed, other people must also see it. So as they were going from different coast to coast, different places to places, they got to Antioch and they were still ministering the gospel. That wherever you go to eventually, if peradventure in the next 10 years, 15 years, some of you are no longer seated here, or wherever we'll be as an assembly, wherever you are, see, you've eaten so much. You've eaten so much that wherever you are, we are sure that the spirit of that place will not catch up with you. And one beautiful thing about this thing that we saw, they did not go one person. The way they were dispersed, from what we saw here, they went in clusters. Even though they were scattered, something had been ingrained into them. Nobody was like, whoa, we're having communal life. Okay, because I'm separate, I just always wanted to have my own separate life. Oh. Because of that, let me just go to my own direction. They were all still going together. Certain men will come together and they were having discipleship meetings, bringing people, preaching the gospel, and ensuring that their sphere of influence heard and knew the Lord Jesus. That brings us to the role of discipleship in evangelism. The initial joy of salvation makes you eager to want to preach the gospel, which is very okay. What you have encountered, you want everybody to know what you have encountered. But what can really sustain you on that journey is discipleship. Because the journey is not without its hazards. The journey is not without its ups and downs. The journey is not without persecution. is not without trials. It's not without tribulation. What will keep you going is discipleship. So you cannot stand alone and say you want to do discipleship. Mean that it is the coming together of a people to learn. Say learn. Learn, practice, and become. Learn, practice, and become. So let's see the role of discipleship in evangelism. The new birth marks the beginning of the harvest, yet it does not fully express the Father's ultimate intention concerning harvest. He patiently waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Men and women who are not only born again, but also cultivated, transformed, and matured to bring him pleasure and glory. You can see this in James chapter 5 verse 7. Say, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The continuity of the harvest and the process of bringing pleasure to God are accomplished through discipleship. Therefore, every believer must be enrolled in the school of discipleship, where continuity in the word goes beyond merely reading the scriptures unto yielding to the Spirit's training and becoming firmly established in doctrine. John chapter 8 verse 31 to 32. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Through teaching, training, and personal encounters with the Lord, disciples become firmly persuaded of the hope within them and are able to communicate it to others with understanding, conviction, and the influence of the Spirit. Consider that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, I should always be ready to have an answer. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Only disciples can do this. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The Lord's command for the disciples to begin outreach from their immediate surroundings reveals that every believer is called into his workforce and entrusted with the responsibility of reaching those around them. Therefore, believers must be committed to ensuring that all within their sphere of influence encounter the gospel of the kingdom. We can see that as much as the Lord delights in the believing of a sinner, you know, that process that brings into the regeneration or the quickening of the human spirit, you know, God has also put a course, that course is C-O-U-R-S-E, in place to ensure that there's continuity. Say continuity. Meaning that God does not just want you to, you know, after you've become born again, get stuck in the journey. Because it's possible to get stuck in the journey. Possible to just believe and then what's next? You know, I heard the story of a particular, you know, person, that he became born again and was asking the person that led him to Christ that what next after this? What next after this? And the person gave him the Bible. Say, go and read the Bible. Say, you should just go and start. That when they meet the next time, he would begin to tell him more things. By the time he met the guy again, and the guy brought the Bible back and said, sir, what next? So what do you mean? He said, I finished it, sir. Say, which other book am I to... See, that guy was very hungry. What made him to read that Bible within that time was because his soul had been looking for something. You know, when you see certain people that say, oh, I'm born again, and then, yes, it's good though that, oh, you are not in church, you are falling up, you're not in church, what happened, blah, blah, blah. It's okay, oh, but it just shows that at the point when that person believed, certain things have not been awoken yet in that soul. There's the, come and be born again. Oh, Jesus Christ can provide for your needs. You know that? Yes, sir. There's the, come and be born again. Jesus Christ can heal you, which is very true, right? Yes, sir. But this particular person, beyond all these things, there was a hollow in his soul that he was looking for, that they gave him Bible. He finished it. He said after that, he took him to church. Sunday service, they finished service. He said, what will I be doing after this? He said, should go. He said, he can't go. He said, he still needs more of this. That he needs something continuous. That soul was, because he was like, after service, where will I go? Is it that my house I will go by? I'll be doing what exactly? The Bible says he has finished it. I'm just trying to show us that, you know, there is a cry in the realm of the spirit that as we are preaching, we are also laboring in prayers. Why? Because the harvest that God wants to bring in, they are not coming to God because they want certain things in the natural alone. They are coming to God because that soul has experienced different things. They are looking for a satisfaction that none of those things can give. They have pursued many things. They have done many things. That even when, if there are certain needs in their life that they are trusting God for, when they are coming, it's not only that thing that is bringing them. I heard a story of somebody that went to Ryan Bonge's crusade, got healed, and they asked the person, do you want to be born again? And she said, no. Because if you understand soul, in as much as, yes, we want you to believe. We want you to believe the Lord Jesus. There is a cry in the heart of the Father that the people that will ensure that the glory of the Lord fills the earth are not just people that come because of things. There are people that their heart, by reason of the prayers of certain people, by reason of the commitment of certain saints, giving due diligence to what the Lord is saying in the house, and they have created a cloud and an atmosphere that some veils of the natural is being taken off their soul, that when they are looking for God, they are looking for Him beyond the mundane. Because the people that will drive this thing to the end, they are not people that are seeking God because of things. They are not people that will encounter God because they have a particular thing that they feel that God can do for them. There is a crop of people that God wants to bring in that He's still keeping them because He's still afraid of the state of the church. If they come towards the way we are going to spoil them. Because we have tied God to just fulfilling certain needs. So the people He wants to bring are people that when they are coming, there is something that has been opened in the realm of the spirit. That when they are coming, their soul that has been hungry, you can download God into them. That by reason of the openness of their soul, then some people, they come to church today, because we are unable to fill their void, we try to begin to say, oh, just calm down. Because we don't have the capacity. We don't have what it takes. We have not been built. What discipleship is about is that when somebody encounters you, you have a place you are drawing from and it will never finish. You have wisdom of the spirit to keep supplying. But you say, where are you drawing this thing from? Because you are tapped into the endless supply. So where God wants to bring us to is a place that the harvest He has, we have enough basket to receive them. That basket is the people that have submitted to discipleship. People that by reason of their life, even you yourself, you are not pursuing God because, let God just shall do this one thing for me, and I'm okay. The way they live their life as disciples, many of us, we can spend endless hours just thinking, what's the direction of my life? Not that we are seeking God for direction, truly. We are just lamenting and come because we feel that there is more to this life that I'm supposed to become. And our eye is not open to the heart of the Father. The desire of the Father, the mandate of the Father, that He wants His glory, the knowledge of His glory to fill the earth. How many of us are woken up in the morning and our cry is that, God, how will the knowledge of Your glory fill the earth? So God wants us to pour ourselves into that labor. That certain people are coming, certain people are on their way. Holy Ghost is working on hearts. But the reason why they can't release some of them yet is because we will spoil them. Because we don't yet have that capacity. We don't yet have that basket woven to hold this kind of fish. Let's look at the Christian worker and his immediate environment. A Christian worker is more than one who serves within a local assembly or church department. He's a believer committed to the work of God within him, around him, and through his life. A Christian worker is more than one who serves in a local assembly or church department. He is a believer committed to the work of God within him, around him and through his life. This is a commitment to the full outworking of salvation. Therefore, we will now consider the immediate environment of the Christian worker through scripture case studies. The first immediate environment of a believer or a Christian worker is his family. Can we say family? The family is the believer's first field of responsibility and one of the primary grounds for God's work within and around him. Since God sets the solid tree in families, every believer must become conscious of their responsibility towards the elders, say elders,
elders,
contemporaries,
contemporaries,
and younger members within their household and extended family. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. This house here speaks to the people, his family, and then his household. We are still going to look into the household matter. But we must know that you being born in a particular family is not by mere coincidence. Even Jesus, where he was born, Joseph and Mary. How many of you know that when Jesus Christ was doing ministry, his brothers did not believe in him? In John 7, they were telling him that nobody does this kind of thing and stay in secret. And the particular people said that because they did not believe in him. They did not believe in him. They did not believe in him. But the fact that they did not believe in him did not mean that they were not observing his life. Did you get that? They did not believe in him did not mean that they were not observing his life. Because why? They did not believe in him, but they were still looking for him. Mary and his brethren stood without. That even if they don't believe what he was preaching, it's very possible that maybe he was giving them some stipend. I'm saying all this to say that your family, because certain people, you don't know that even your sense of behavior in your family is the evangelism they need. Because at first they will not believe, but after a while of consistent showing forth a particular manner of life, they begin to ask you questions. Some people don't want to stay with their family. Say, sir, can I just find a place to come and stay with the brethren? Is it bad to stay with brethren? But for that particular point in time, the best place that might have been good for you is to stay with your family. Say, no. When we are streaming, that's when they say, I should come and wash plates. And I don't want to be distracted. Or you wake up in the morning, the whole house is sweeping, cooking, but you say you are having your own fellowship time. And you are praying. Your tongue is powerful. And they're looking at you'll even be angry with your church. And they don't teach you people well in your church. You come back from service, maybe powerful service, and then you are still very much basking in the Holy Ghost. And you enter kitchen, and then you can see plates is there. Dirty plates. But you say, no. Holy Ghost is inside me. I want to pour out another 1 hour. And you enter your room. The Holy Ghost I know, he will tell you that while you are tonguing, be washing these plates. You know, there are certain difficult tasks in the household, in the family, that people just try to remove themselves from. When you see it like that, you quickly run so that they will not say that, you pass this place now. You go back and lock yourself in the house. That the people that have been assigned to that task, when they come out, they will do their stuff. How are you going to evangelize that you have seen something beyond the natural, beyond the ordinary, when house chores and task, you are not up to the task? Hallelujah. I'm saying this to say that one thing we know about Jesus Christ was when he went to preach, one of the things that even caused their unbelief was because of how much they could not dissociate carpentry from him. How much he had given himself to that work. That is this not Jesus, the son of a carpenter? They did not remember him. Is this Jesus that will call to go and do something that will not do it? What they remember was his carpentry work. Because he gave himself to that work. The work of his father. If there was any carpenter in the world, no carpenter currently can meet the standards of Jesus, I'm sure. His design mind, how he will do it for you. So they have seen him in and out. And for Mary to have told those people that whatever he says, do it too.
is because in the house, he was not a rebellious child. His family, they did not believe, but they kept following him. His brothers and sisters, they were always around him. Eventually, when he died, then he appeared to James. I'm sure they didn't tell us he appeared to Jude, but I'm sure James would have told Jude, this guy that we gave trouble is really the one. And, you know, that thing would have convicted them. You know, I remember even myself, you know, growing up as a teenager, I just started coming into certain understandings of, you know, I was the only boy in the house. I have four sisters. There's just a way you just begin to, how do I put it? You begin to become rebellious because you always had the women around you, and then the way the other sister is, no, don't talk to me like that. And all those kind of things. And then you have some aid and abetting from your mom. And I was always having rancor with my two elder sisters. We never agreed. Growing up, we're always fighting. Always fighting. All of a sudden, two of them gained admission. They left me in the house. So I was now the only one left to now be doing the house chores. Where the Lord began to encounter me was when they now came back. My immediate elder sister, when she got back, she had completely changed. I would not be like, is this my sister? Hey, will I say they've exchanged? Because she became extremely calm, gentle, doing all manner of things in the house. Then she would call me and sit me down. And she would talk to me. I almost be kind of kilo day. Let's fight now. What's this? As in, she had completely changed. No, I could not reconcile it. So I began to inquire, what did this person encounter that I have not seen? What? Eventually, I had the opportunity to go to their school as well, and I began to see things. But that thing just created an hunger in me. That, okay, what did this person see? What is this person that I'm not seeing? Things that all of us will laugh about, she will take it seriously. I see you. And the way she will bring, this person is not ordinary. Are you a little boy now? So I'm just trying to say that even your family, you might feel that, the way you've been handling that your younger brother, that cooking born on pa, cooking shaking the cock pa, and he's already 13. Kilo share pa. And right before you, under your eyes, better be becoming more rebellious. And you don't know that there's something the Holy Ghost is trying to say. There is a way to handle such a soul. He can hear. He can hear. But you are doing, no, I'm the Egbon. He says it's not washing plates. Say, you must wash it or shout start. What happened to you? You are not washing, I'll be okay. And you go and start washing. From where I'm, I'll be looking at her. I say, I know wash plates and she's washing it. You might just feel that, because it's very possible that you were there when they brought the child home. You know, I have another sister, she's like 6 years older than me. She was the one that carried me. But when you begin to see certain changes in behavior, certain changes, like, what does this person know that I don't know? From there, you have utterance, you have audience to even engage. So family, you have responsibility. Even your parents, they must be able to see you and say, this boy is a believer, we are believers, but there's something different about him. Even when they are not even believers, they must say that, No. This Jesus you have accepted has done something about you. Now, does that mean that certain places there will not be persecutions? You are going to this place, or maybe it's from another religion and the like. Even when they are persecuting you, their conscience is bearing them witness. Even if they persecute you, but they are persecuting you for righteousness' sake, not because it's not wash plates. Maybe they say, no, they are persecuting me. When I want to listen to daddy and mommy, they are always saying I should go and do this. They are always saying I should go and do that. They don't understand. No. Righteousness' sake is that when they want you to do something, you are doing it under the auspices of righteousness. When they look at you, they can say that, no. This boy, this girl has embodied something that we don't have an idea about. Andrew, immediately after meeting Jesus, the first person he went to bring was his brother. And that brother eventually became like the spokesperson for all the disciples. So it's not a place of, I brought you in, so I must be the one. Even, go and read the Gospel of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You will see plenty, and Peter answered. This is the person they brought in, and Peter answered. But when you see Andrew, very limited number of times. In fact, was it not just John 14 or 15, where he was asking the Lord question? That's when we saw Andrew talk again. After he brought him, the person you now brought now became the spokesperson. And it looks like you are relegated to the background. Those disciples, they had conversations among themselves. And the person that you brought said, we've seen the Lord. Now you bring and come meet Jesus. But Naim, always answering. Peter answered and said, I want to say, even when they are not even asking questions. Because he was a man that came with questions. So your family, we can see the generational transfer of faith from Louis to Eunice to Timothy. What are you transferring to the next generation? Because your life is not only what you say, like our daddy has taught us. You are evangelizing by your actions. I saw a picture that was very heartbreaking. You know, they were showing these, more like your gadgets, like this phone, having tentacles. And then they showed a mother sitting, a child sitting. So her own phone was glued to her face. So that tentacle was wrapped around her head. So that means she was sucked up in her gadget, right? Then they showed the child, very small child, crying. Nothing was on his face. He was crying, trying to get the mother's attention, but she could not hear him. And then another gadget now came out, like the one on the mother's face. And then as the child saw it, he became excited. That's now wrapped around his own face too. So I was seeing how the enemy, he has done so much. No, you can tell your child, read your Bible, do this, do that. But whenever they are seeing us, what they always see us with, that we're always laughing on a reel. We're always laughing at it. What they see us with, automatically what they will be configured to, is that what is inside this thing, they will look for it. I'm not the one making you excited. We have defined this thing as life to them. So they too will begin to look for their own screen time. If you like, don't allow your child to have phones SS3. But then your life is buried in this. When he goes out, that thing is already in him. The first access he has to it, his investment in that thing, in 1 year, will be more than your 33 years combined. So there must be an intentionality to pour out into these children. That generation can roll over their children and kill them by reason of sleep. Children can be exchanged by reason of sleep. And then, like Lois passed faith to Eunice. Eunice handed down faith to Timothy. It is possible that your children can receive faith from your hand. But for this to happen, we must also be holders of faith. Evangelism also happens in our households. When you wake up in the morning, you see that 2-year-old child, 3-year-old child, wake up with the mindset that I'm evangelizing to this child. So it will guide how you live. It will guide what you say. It will guide what you do. In the morning, you've done devotion of lying. You know, the Lord does not like us to lie and the likes. And then a debtor comes from afar. What has been mirrored to that child is what the child will hold on to. Not even what we say. We can see household and acquaintances. Beyond biological family ties, God extends opportunities for salvation to those placed within a believer's household and daily association through his providence. Therefore, the believer is called to represent Christ and bear witness to those within his household and among his acquaintances. We can see Abraham, Lord bearing him witness, you know, Genesis 18 verse 19. Say, I know Abraham. I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. We can see the jailer. He extended the message of salvation, you know, to his entire household. We can also see Cornelius. He made provision for all his household to hear Peter's message, which led to him and his entire household getting born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10. So household, you know, much more than just, you know, biological family tie. There are also those which God brings together as family into your household. You know, we can have sisters staying together, brothers staying together. That's the household. That's the household. That's a family that God has constituted by himself. He has brought you guys together. And there's also order, you know, in that place. And how we also speak, how we also act in all these places, you know, also have a long way to go. Another thing I also like to add is that, you know, certain people are servants in our household. People that Cornelius sent to go and call Peter, scripture called them servants in his household. Certain people, what they come to do within our household is they come as workers. Like your gateman is a worker in your household. That is a servant. They call them servants to his household. A gateman, a house help, maybe, you know, some people, God has helped them so much, you can have a chef, you know. You can have different assistances like that. All those relationships must be guarded jealously. You cannot be a person that you are maltreating house helps, maltreating gatesmen, or treating people around you that come to work within the jurisdiction of your household as nobodies. Because their first contact with you is primarily that God arranged them to be around you. God is the one that put them around you. It might be different that brought them, but that they are around you, God placed them around you. And by reason of how we live, imagine how Abraham treated Eliezer. Eliezer was a servant in his household. Eliezer was not his biological heir. But when Abraham was praying, when he was speaking to God, he said, is he Eliezer? Because the way he had treated that guy so much was that that guy had a sense of inheritance. Even though he was not from his loins. He had a sense of inheritance, even though... So, at his old age, when he needed somebody to carry out certain tasks, because of trainings, because of how he poured himself into him, he was able to say, Eliezer, and Eliezer knew what to do. Funny enough, Abraham did not give Eliezer the details of how to go about it. He just told him where to go. But the how, Eliezer was praying to the God of my master. The person working with you, and the person say, you cannot even relate with God around you. Say, God of who? I'd rather be alone than serve the God of this, my master. So anybody that God brings around you, don't just see them as, for use. No, they have a soul that is precious to God. Their soul is very precious to God. And them around you is an opportunity to ensure that through you, God is able to reach them. For workplace, we can see career, business, and the marketplace are not intended merely for selfish gain, but also function as fields for God's work and witness. In this environment, believers encounter people from various walks of life, and while maintaining lives free from covetousness and corruption, they are called to minister the gospel through both godly conduct and verbal witness. James, John, and Peter are examples of men who encountered Christ in the marketplace while carrying out their daily professions. They had previously met him at Jordan, but did not fully commit to follow him until he encountered them at their place of work. Likewise, many would only respond at their workplace. See, when John baptized Jesus, these two people, they were there. Because Acts made us realize that all of these disciples, they had started from Jordan. These people were there. But after that thing does look like a normal daily occurrence to them. You are baptized, and John was saying, behold the lamb. That one, he never entered there. Oh, this is the lamb. Okay, when is the next fish selling day? They went back to their business. But Jesus went to that their business and met them there. It was until Jesus entered their business because they say, we are leaving all and we are following. Certain people, it is a business place that they will respond. It's in the office. That's where they will respond. You know, that's my workplace. One of them, you know, used to come for a meeting back then in school. He said he used to love the worship. And I said, what now happened? You know, he was now telling me the story of his friend, that his friend too used to be like him. They used to go together to every meeting. And I said, what happened? He said, that day, they went for a meeting. They were just excited. As in the guy was so in love. But then they now stole his phone. Because of that, the guy shut down. He didn't go again. He said, Satan is working around the clock. I was asking, what if a security person had been there? And I told people, guys, take your phone, hold your phone. You know, we might not have recorded such an incident. So you don't even know where different departments come to play in ensuring that just one soul. The guy just lost favor. Lost everything and he stopped going. Where's the guy now? He just saw somewhere. So he too, after that incident, he was discouraged. But then he was still trying to go, but it was not as before. Because they were two. And they were going together. There's this person that we share the same office together, and I'm trusting God. He's a believer, but I've just been trusting God, waiting on how to go about, you know, further speaking to him. Then this last week, we're talking, and he just said, he feels a sharp pain in his stomach, under here, and the like. Some people came and said, is it appendicitis? Well, he now told me that he's feeling this. I now had that problem, and I asked him, have you placed your hands on it and prayed?
Because scripture says that you will lay your hands on the sick and recover. You yourself, you can use it for yourself. He now responded and said, I've not prayed though, but pastor, you can pray for me. That's what he said. So I was like, I wanted to move it up, but I felt that strong that, no, if you try, I said, okay, let's pray. And I prayed with him. So I asked him, I can't feel the pain again. No. I said, thank God, at least we are starting from somewhere. We are sick. You know, you can have that prompting. Your colleague say, how is it here that I'm the one praying? When, because somebody just said, I have a headache, and you be like, what side of head is paining? You say, this side. You know, according to what I read, it could be. Is that what they are saying to you? Say, maybe, migraine, did you sleep overnight? No. Pray for the sick and they will recover. Take that step out in faith. Say, in Jesus' name, I pray that you are healed. Even a Muslim person had issue, and how should we pray for the person? Do you mind if I pray with you? Say, pray. Oh. They'll say, pray, just pray. And you pray with them in the name of Jesus. After that, you can have entrance to even bring the word to them. So the workplace is very paramount, you know, in encountering the Lord. Lydia was a seller of purple clothes, a successful businesswoman in Philippi. She used her resources and home to support the gospel. After receiving Christ, she opened her house for ministry and fellowship. Her business platform connected her to people and opportunities for kingdom service. Paul worked as a tent maker. While working, he interacted with people daily and preached Christ. Occupation gave him access to communities and relationships. This was how he met Aquila and Priscilla, who were also fellow tent makers. So that same profession that you are very good at, you meet another person that is equally good. And what will lead you into conversation of Jesus will be that profession. But God is not stereotyped. God is not stereotyped. You are the one that feels that, you know, you are sitting with a colleague. You must say that I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord. No. There's just an issue that will just come up. Maybe about tent making. How did you? And they say, Paul, with all your, how are you able to design this particular thing? And then from there, began to speak. And then he'll bring them to Christ. That's why even God will not even allow you to be a mediocre at your profession. Because there are certain people that it is your knowledge of that profession that when you speak to them, you have entered them already. And from there, you can bring the gospel. Looking at your neighborhood, this refers to the immediate community surrounding a believer's daily life, including next door neighbors. Them being your neighbors is also God that placed them around that area. Certain neighbors just want to fight you. If you're like some people that maybe you have brethren in your house, and then you are not just one, you are not two, you are five, you are six, you are seven, and this neighbor just wants to live a solitary life. Just seeing all of you just disturbing his peace. What kind of people is this? He's already on the edge. He's already angry with your kind of life because he doesn't understand it. And then you are not trying to make peace. You are not interested in being peaceable. You bring fire, you bring thunder. Christmas time like this, you know, it's just a wisdom. People that you know around you, begin to give them at least that season, you can bring gift to people things. From there, conversation can start. For some of them, it's not even that you go and tell them that we believed in Jesus. Some of them might be chronic Muslims, but you just extend hand of fellowship. Just give things around them. They know that you're a Christian. Certain things will happen in their lives that say, hey, who will help me? They will come to you. But it will never happen. They will never think of you if you have not been that kind of neighbor. They will never. We can see Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost was to those in the neighborhood. Dorcas, also called Tabitha, served her community through her crafts, acts of giving, and good works, and would have ministered the gospel through the lives she touched and the compassion she showed to those she reached out to. Consider Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 42. Neighborhood is very, very important in the heart of God. And there's wisdom. You know, this thing is skill. If your heart is open to it, for some of us, our heart was never open to it, that our neighborhood can be a point where we'll reach out to. So maybe some of you even have schools around you. You have certain facilities around you. And that might just be a point that God wants to reach through you. It will help you to begin to wait, not just by zeal. Just want to go, no. Well, how can I? What things can I do to begin to facilitate this harvest?
We can also see the place of online platforms. No, we really dwelt here as well. Believers can use online platforms to spread the gospel, encourage others, and share godly content. Though the adversary uses these mediums for evil, believers must be regulated and inwardly governed by the Holy Ghost, not coming under their influence, but using them as tools for preaching the gospel. Truth of the matter is that if we are not careful, these things can subdue us. That's why the online platforms are systems. They are systems you cannot overcome as an individual. They are calculated, well-placed systems that by yourself, individually, nobody can overcome that system. Everybody wants to post content these days. Everybody wants to post content. You know, you as a believer, your approach is not because I want to post content. I want to post content. Lest while sharing content, content shares you. Because some people just be like, oh, this evangelist, I want to take it up notch. Then you begin to try to see, okay, what content can I post here and there? And because of that, you can even make certain mistakes, enter certain things that you're not supposed to enter into. The safe place that you are sharing the content of your local assembly. Whatever you will share there must be informed by the doctrine of the house. Some people go as far as you just see certain people say certain things. You know the way we do excerpts. And then those things are online already. And then you just say, oh, kwa, 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 and you go and post it. What you don't know about certain things is that a pot of soup is a pot of soup. But you don't need poison as big as a pot of soup. When those people started eating, is it the book of First Kings now? They ate to a point before they shouted, there's death in the pot. What you see is the shining pot, beautiful. But you don't know that there's poison in that pot. Somebody that has been following you, looking up to you, will just say that, he posted this thing. That means you endorse the person. All you just posted is an excerpt. But that person will now go and dig into that person. Before you know it, that person is already taking poison. You must understand social media, you cannot afford to cast off restraint. It's not a place where I can do as I like. I have my rights. No. It's a place whereby the Holy Ghost must be ministering to you as well. Now, lastly, the last subtopic of this place is territorial evangelism and missionary outreach. Beyond the believer's immediate sphere of influence, the church carries a corporate responsibility for territorial evangelism by raising, training, supporting, and sending missionaries into various territories, regions, and nations for the propagation of the gospel. We can see that in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were praying, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work." As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." The church at Antioch prayed, fasted, and sent forth Paul and Barnabas for missionary work. The early church continually supported and partnered with ministers sent into different regions. This is a collective responsibility of the church. As believers are sent into various territories, communities, and nations, the church must continually stand with them in prayers. Support. This support, financial, words, different support is in various forms. Various forms and formats. Encouragement and oversight for the advancement of the gospel. Now, I believe strongly that after these 7 weeks, it's very possible that there will be different, or there will be particular kind of baskets weaved around this. Now, even for missionary work, even for the ministry, ministry of the gospel. And many of us here can be trained as missionaries. Many of us can be sent out as missionaries. Missionaries into different places. There will be trainings, there will be teaching, there will be guidance, and there will be oversight of the church for that particular, work. Apart from territorial evangelism, sponsored by the corporate church, believers who move to different territories for work, school, business, relocation, persecution, or any form of scattering must be spiritually grounded through discipleship to stand as missionaries in those locations, being succors and pointing many to Jesus through their lives, conduct, and preaching of the gospel. So either you travel out of the country for maybe school purpose, work purpose, whatever it is that takes you out of this place, you must be missionary minded. You must know that I'm not just here you know, just to serve my own purpose. I'm not just here to just get a PhD. I'm not here to just get a doctorate degree. I'm not just here for MSc. I'm not just here to work and pay bills. I'm not just here to marry. I'm here because God sent me here. That mind allows you to, wherever you are going to, you go there as an ambassador. Because you are not representing yourself. You are representing Him that has sent you. We can see that in the apostles, in the early church, disciples and Christian workers, wherever they went to, Acts 8, 1 to 4, they were scattered by reason of persecution. Wherever they went to, they were preaching to everyone that they met. Conclusion. God's ultimate harvest are men who have been led in the knowledge and obedience of the truth, removing ignorance so that His glory may fill the earth. Every believer has a part to play in this divine agenda. Can we say amen? Amen. Can we raise up our right hands to heaven? Just take these words. Can we say, my Father, thank you for this series. Can we say, thank you for this series? Thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for causing me to understand that life is not about selfish interest, but my life is an avenue to represent you and shine your light. So therefore, I receive strength. I receive guidance. I receive instruction on how to be your ambassador. On how to be an ambassador. Thank you, my Father. For in Jesus' name we've declared. Let's just thank God.
We've been so blessed. Lord, we thank you for this series, Lord. We thank you because you are the one that moved your servant's heart for to bring this. Lord, we exalt you. In Jesus' name, amen. God's servant wanted me to just do a bit of review. And I think last week, there was one of the things that stood out and was so clear in my spirit. That one of the things the Lord is doing in our day, I believe the Lord is bringing forth a restoration. You know, this series is a restoration of some things some of us have forgotten, of some things some of us were never aware of. You know, the issue of the harvest. You know, I see that, you know, there's a way you can claim to have a better or higher understanding of the Lord and the Lord's purpose, and yet you fail in this. If you were part of the move, you know, in the 80s, in the 70s, one of the things that was very clear is that you don't just become a born again, you receive a call to evangelize. There was a work of ministry that was glaring. You know, most of those mission, you know, houses, mission institutions that were set forth in the church, it was that move that bettered it. You get born again and then, you know, you come to church. You know, if you were part of that move, you enjoyed it. You know, you don't come to church alone. You don't come to church alone. You know, as a young girl, small girl, you know, when you come to church, you bring somebody to church. You don't understand. When you are coming to church, it's a mandate because you must submit names to follow up team. So as you are coming to church, you are going to evangelize to people and say, you know, come to church. Amen. Two things I have been able to discern, you know, the place of faith, the place of, you know, miracles, you know, because there's a way you can have faith, you know, you can have faith to say to become and also not have faith for that. The Lord is giving that consciousness. You know, we have some people have said, but it's not about healing of the sick. It's not about preaching. It's about preaching. And I want us to receive that, receive it as an instruction that, you know, all the years you have been sitting down hearing, there's what the Lord wants, God wants to reach people. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And He gave what? He said, God does not love me and you. God did not love the brethren. God did not love the beloved. For God so loved the world. The world. We always say it's not about numbers. It's about numbers. It's about God is raising a people, but He also wants to reach people. Excuse me, Satan has no say. Satan holds nothing. Every soul belongs to the Lord. And we must be mindful of that. And that's why when the Lord looks at a matter, the Lord is not looking at a matter to favor me and you. He's looking at a matter to save men. So I believe that we will allow the Lord to visit us in the name of Jesus. One of the things I want to say, The world has raised certain Christians that have perfected compartmentalizing their lives. You know, there's some believers, your life is compact. There's a, let's say, Sister Dupe at home, Sister Dupe at work, Sister Dupe at household, Sister Dupe in church. And you know, when we come to church, this is the best of us. You know, we are wearing, looking nice. You smile. How are you, my sister? You look so good. And then, you know, we are so... But when we get home, we are a beast. You are lion of the tribe of Judah, Junior. You know? Some of us, it's true. And with our family members, ha! Inoni. They can't talk to her. You know, the way some of it, no. You know, you talk with all folly. I used to wonder that some angels, eh? Thank God they are angels. If angels should just have ability to be giving some people slap and knock. I'm just trying to say that we have just one life as a believer. You don't have a life that is different from what you are in church or what you are at your workplace or your marketplace. When they want to trace you, they must have one address. Some of us, we have many addresses. Ah, this one is living in quiet, in church. They trace another address. Ah! Iniquity. Different addresses. God wants us to live one life. Because when you live one life, you'll be conscious that there's a mandate where you stand. You know what the Lord is doing inside of you? The place of expression, number one, primarily in our families. If it was not in our family, the day you gave your life to Christ, you would have died. But you gave your life to Christ and you go home. It's not correct, my sisters and brothers, that you are born again. Your family cannot attest to it. They can't attest to it. They might, even if you are from another faith, they must be able to attest. They must be able to attest that something is different. There's, your responses are different. Your actions are different. Not that you are born again, you are still doing the same thing that they are doing. Are you understanding me? Because you see, let me tell you, they will know us by our life. By our life. And this is a charge to parents, to uncles and aunties. That our family will be the primary partaker of harvest. You see, harvest, and you might say that my home is a Christian home. But excuse me, what we have learned about harvest is not only about people becoming born again. There's an harvest that will cause people to journey more in God. Yes or no? There's an harvest that will make people, you know, do more with the Holy Ghost. Imagine you are a parent or your auntie, you are living here, you know, you just have people who have just met the Lord, that you have everything to heart to every man. If somebody says he's born again, you know, okay, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in tongues? You say, yes, I speak in tongues. How many times? How many times have you been, you know, have you, do you understand that there's more to purpose? You understand? You understand what I'm saying? But if our life is not becoming that which we profess, there's a problem. There's an harvest that must move our children and the members of our family into another harvest. So you cannot, as somebody in a family, be displaying another thing at all. Everybody walks around eggshells around you. And you claim that is not Jesus. That is not Jesus. Jesus is the Lord, but we don't walk around actually. In fact, many of us, we call it without putting the Lord. All manners. Jesus, Jesus. But why do we call him like that? Because he's the same yesterday. Jesus is the same at home. He's the same outside. He remains constant. So God wants our lives to bring forth what? A harvest. Our children. The people that lives in our family. Some of us, we run away from our biological family. They don't understand us. They don't understand. You did not drop from the sky. You see, that family is as bad as it is. That's why they dropped you. Inside that. But that your family is bad. God wants to reap out of that family, you know, a goodness. And that's why they sent you. God wants you to show them light. Not that some things they do, you're endorsing it. You know, some of us, we don't have mouth to speak truth. Sometimes it's covetousness and logging truth that will not allow us to reach out to some family members. Yes. When you have problem, there's always an uncle, my auntie. They've never seen you walked in faith. You are planning wedding. In your mind, my uncle, Olowo, family wa. You say you are a believer. You have not walked in faith to believe. But your trust is still in that your uncle. And so when they say, come to Kenny, yeah, you will... Because they've not seen a claim of somebody who has walked in faith. I'm saying that this is a call. Jesus is the one giving us this call. The same thing with our households. God wants us to come into, you know, even our households. Please, I believe that in this household, we don't have people maltreating anybody. If you are, Jesus will deal with you. If somebody lives in your household, maybe it's a help, house help, whatever help, and you are maltreating, Jesus himself will deal with you. I am not joking. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because as a believer, nothing about our life is ordinary. Where you live, where you work, where you school, it's you that you are thinking, and I get admission. It's you that are thinking, and I got money, and we got a place. Everything is working together for good. And there's a reason why they place you as light. If Jesus said you are the light of the world, you are indeed the light of the world. You are indeed the light of the world. And there should not be light and there's darkness. You know, there are many stories that touch the heart. That's why I believe that there are some stories you don't listen to. But people say, if you hear us, get sorry. You know, there's a way. There are some stories you don't give your ear to. One of the things that has numbed the conscience of people is that people have heard things they should not hear. It's only spoiled food you give. You are supposed to reflect a life. And you can tell me, those children, more bad gone. What bad gone is not about you. But you must know that they came into your home. There's a light they must carry. Even if they are doing what is bad. Some people have need of somebody, they need help. And they say, I need brethren. Brethren are not house helps. They are not house helps. They are your brethren. They are living in a house. In fact, the most primary thing you must know, they are in your house so that you can be helped. That's how I see. Me, when people come around me, I take it as I want to use you. That's why I have different manual for different people living with me. Some people live in my house, they are like my yoga. And I follow. Yes, I must change. I must change. If people live in your house, the first thing you see is what they can do to you. You have not heard well what we are teaching you. Are brethren supposed to supply? Yes. Because they are supposed to understand they are part of the household. God's people, we must know otherwise. Honestly, I just feel the Lord began to explain to us the things that are delaying our entrance. The things that, the way we relate to one another. Brethren will stay in some households. They'll be offended. Brethren will stay in some households. They can't come to charity because of your attitude. Nobody should stay in your house and they can't make journey. In the larger community, I'm telling you, you know how many people will come here, mama, they need wisdom to live, how to work with their mama, how to work with the people they live around. God's people, it's not correct. If people are living in your house and you are offended, and they are offended, and you cannot sense it to address the issue, something is wrong with you. So our household should be so structured that we can harvest people. People will live in a household. They'll be able to take steps. If they have not taken steps in faith, they can take it. If they have not taken steps in some becoming, they can take it. They can learn forbearance. And the people that live in households too, sometimes you need to go through that dealing. You know, God is a wonderful way. God will couple people together. Both the liver and the levy. They are working out salvation. In fact, some people say, last, at the end of the day, you could become like him. So God wants us that our household will replace. The same thing with workplace. You should not be that sister or that brother that we doubt that you are a believer. You know, on Sunday morning, Monday morning, everybody, you know, on Monday morning in the office, everybody is a Christian. They come back, you know, loaded. But when they are doing office gossip, they know you are chairman. HR know. They know that the news is from this person. They know. They don't see it. You know, they don't see your claim to Christianity is only on your status. It's only your church meeting. But in terms of your life, it's not there. You have nothing, and you have nothing good to say. Your attitude is totally off. Because people, these are things God, the Lord needs to touch. They must know that you are a believer, not by what you say. I thank God for how God has helped me. One of the things, as a little girl, the Lord said, you see, there's nothing about your life that is ordinary. So where am I in a place? I don't need to say I'm a Christian. You will know by my life. You know, one of the testimony, I had a colleague that is a Muslim, and we worked together. We are the same peer, you know, the same role and all. Muslim. You know, many times when she does some things, you know, intervene with her husband that this is not correct. This is not correct. After a while, she said, you are almost turning me to a Christian. With some of these Christians, I say, what happens to you becoming a Christian fully? She had an issue with a child, a second child. And I will not forget, because that child, it was a lot. I can tell you, you know, there had to be prayer when she had that child out of the country. The first person she called was me. She called me. He said, Dupe Bami Badura. Bami Badura. Omo yo magbodo ku. Early morning. In fact, Badura, Koliku, you know. And honestly, I prayed. I told the women to pray for her. I raised it up. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. That girl lived. The girl lived. All the support the girl need. Now brethren surround that person. Because all the support, they only did, I have a brother. I have, you know, all our medical team that needed, it was brethren that surrounded that child. So I'm just trying to say that the Lord expects us, even in our workplace, to show forth a conversation and a light. Are you understanding me? Was it last month that there was one sister that brethren came to visit her, did not allow brethren to come into church? If we come to visit you in church, will we be say, Brother Fortune, will they wonder who is the bro? You know, some people even have different names. Some people have different names. Maybe Brother Fortune, which he doesn't want to Brother Eutychus. Other names, you know. But will we be able to call you brother and sister? The same thing with our neighborhood. Praise God. I just want to say there's something God's servant said. The same thing with our neighborhood. If you don't know your neighbors, after this lesson, go and know your neighbors. If you are living in a place and you have neighbors, and the only thing you see about your neighbor is that white of a park CB. Otu Tiche. That's the only thing you know about your neighbor. Otu Ti block him. Otu Ti block him. You know, very bad. Very bad. We are laughing. It's true. The only thing we know, sanitation. You know, bad things. You have never, you know, you come, if you go to a place for the first time, you should introduce yourself. We are your new neighbors. How are you doing, sir? You should introduce yourself. So in some people's house, we can't even come and do house fellowship. And can I say something, especially those of us that have households, you know that large household, you know that honestly, some of our neighbors, they endure us. You will come late for meetings. Abi now. He won him mama maki and no brethren. And some neighbors just want to live in peace. And you have not had judgment to know that, I just can try. Lati eti reach out. I might be no oshe and yon yon lenu kupo. You know that some neighbors endure us. We are the ones that are supposed to be forbearing, but people are forbearing us. And your ignorance that you are being forbearing. Especially those of us that house people in the house. You know that your poo-poo is more. When they are asking that you should pay service fee, you are the last to pay. You know, there are some things we can just avoid. In terms of security, you know that your people come to visit you more. Shouldn't you do more for your security man? And tip him and say, Baba, you know, we know, you see our security man? The man, only God will make him not offended. All our security people, we always befriend them because as a pastor, people come to your house anytime. And your security, the day you people want to come and Baba reveals open gate for you. Please, no? Left our spiritual gumption, spiritual judgment. Amen. Then online platform. Please, we are online because we want to be heard, okay? Online platform is not for you as a believer to now be looking for content to share online. There's some people's status. You have a rishi. This excerpt, you are sharing it. This excerpt, you are sharing it. But yet, there's poison in the food. You know, you share some excerpt and some people will go and listen to the message and start following the person. Yes, there are some people. Me, I'm not quick to endorse and share people. The people I'm safe to share are people that I know are making progress. And even if I have to share something, I will pick out what I am sharing. That this is to be exalted. Please be very careful. Because I can tell you, in wanting to look for what to share, on status, you can spend 3 hours gleaning from the status of others. That 3 hours, if you have used it very well, you would have won one soul for Christ. I know some people have turned their status to evangelism. I see all the, yes, believe Jesus, yes. Be bold to open your mouth to tell a human being. A human being. Don't just tell, believe Jesus. But yes, somebody is in front of you. Oh, let's talk about brethren. It's your status that is preaching. I say, stop hiding behind that. It's your status that is preaching. Yes, it's good though, it's good. You know, we just hashtag believe Jesus. Everybody will start copy and paste. But yeah, we told you to do an exercise. We say be an apprentice, an apprentee. If you, please, you need to sign up. You might be here. Yeah, you have not done that exercise of going out to talk to people. There are people who have done it. There are people who are taking schools. You better come. Maybe we should tell, they should enlist. Online platform, let's leave it to the online messages. You don't be leaving content to use to evangelize to people. Because otherwise, you yourself, you need evangelism eventually. Social media can take you. You can be there, stuck for hours. From one to another one. And you, in your mind, Satan will say, yes, I'm sharing godly content. Ah, it's knowledge of good and evil. Amen. When it comes to the issue of evangelism, there's a place where the Holy Ghost sends. But the church can send you. You know this topic is, they say Christian worker. Say Christian worker. Me and you, that is the mindset we are supposed to have. Christian what? You see why Jackpa will never work for you? It's because, no, you still don't understand that everything that has to do with you is tied to what? Is tied to this agenda. If you think they will permit you to leave this land and go to another land because of means or because of better life, you are joking. And you are a waster. When the Lord will open doors to anywhere, it's because it's not only about you. Can I say this? We don't relocate because of better life. Nigeria is not working. We don't relocate because Nigeria is not working. The Lord will open doors. The Lord will grant grace. But primarily in all of that, one of the things we are conscious of is that what? Wherever we go is for the Lord. He said, whatever the fall of your feet, that possession is not you. It's the Lord. You know, there's one prophecy of Southeast Asia on this house. Ah, yes, so there's a Southeast Asia. Even me, I'm waiting for Southeast Asia. On this house. Maybe you just say, my office just transferred me to Singapore. Because this Southeast Asia started with Singapore. And then now, know that, oh, Singapore, the GDPA is quite better than Nigeria. No. In all of that, there's a parcel they need to unravel. You don't understand. You are a resource. You see, when you are thinking about nations or the nations of the earth, you are the resource that will open the nations of the earth. Why you must pay attention to your building is that when you get to a nation, you are a resource that is unfolding. You don't understand. They need faith in the Lord. From it, Omar, pull out me. From your room. It put out. They want men to become Holy Ghost. From you, resource we pull out. That is why we must pay attention to raising. That is the mindset. There was this movie, my Zion movie I wore, The Mandate. And one of the things I saw about him that which I appreciated was that, you see, even the work transfer was held in view that it was about the Lord. We should stop untying the Lord from our life. That's why things are not working. If they want to move you and say they want to send us to America, just don't think they're telling you to America to go and be handing dollars or to go and meet the president. They are sending you for the sake of the gospel. That is a mandate, my sister. That is a mandate, my brother. And the church can also send you. They might, a door might open. And the church is not only Holy Ghost that move. They can say, oh, yeah. Yes, you can be sent. They sent Barnabas. In Antioch, they said it was a church. They said the church sent Barnabas. They can say, and they can not only send you, they can send their family. Are you hearing me?
My sisters and brothers, the harvest is indeed what? Plenteous. We need laborers. We need laborers. And every heart must be ready. Or it might not even be the international. It might be Iliapa. It might be Iliapa. It might be one interior. It's a Leodo. It's a Leoko. East is also another mandate on this church. There's an East calling, Southeast Nigeria. There's a South-South call on this church too. So you see, it's not all of us that will live in this Lagos. What am I saying? I say be ready. You know, there are some nations that have not opened up. But I'm saying have that mindset. As that you're a Christian worker. Excuse me, if we don't have this mindset, persecution will scatter us. We shouldn't wait for persecution to disperse us. If we don't have this mindset, you know, if there was no persecution, the apostles were still, you know, yes, as if that is all the Lord. But even the commission of Jesus was go to the whole world. I think maybe they forgot. This message of becoming is not about a person. It's not about a nation.
For you see, you should know and you should agree that my burden is not for select few. My burden is not for some. I desire not some. I want not some. I want many. I want many. Many. It's for many. The message is for many. The message is for many. My arm is stretched out wide for many. For many. For many. For many. And so you see, I'm even growing a seed. Growing a seed. Growing a seed that can bring many fruit. Many fruit. Many fruit. For you see, my investment in you is not for you alone. It's not for your immediate environment. It's not for your immediate sphere, even of influence. Yeah, it's for many. It's for many. And you see, I will sow. I will sow. I will even sow you, even to reap many more. For many more. For many more. For you see, leading of my spirit is to sow you, is to sow you, is to sow, is to scatter you for one purpose, to bring many. For you see, leading to take you in and out, to take you abroad, and to take you across even many spheres, is not for you alone. It's not for you alone. It's to reap many. It's to reap many. So I say to you, open your mind. Broaden even the sphere of your thinking. Broaden even the sphere of what you imagine as what I'd like to do. For you see, many are limited in their minds. Many are even limited in what they see that I'd like to do. For I have a lot in store. Much more than you can think. Much more than you got even imagine, even at the time. I say to you, be open up, break forth the barriers, break forth the borders, even of your imaginations and of your thinking, even concerning this matter. For you see, I have many to bring in, many to bring in. For the prosperity, even of the gospel, even of my gospel, yeah, it's one, it's a place, it's one, even in a place where it's faith can spread forth and bring forth much more, much more. For there is a seed in the gospel. There is an ability in the gospel. There is something even in my gospel that is to draw many, to draw many. Don't be a limitation to how far I can reach. Don't be a limitation to how far I can call, even by reason of your manner of thinking. Restrict not the spirit. Limit not the spirit. Yea, I say to you, agree with me, agree with me, agree with me. And upon each time, upon each moment, where I will blow, even by my spirit, upon you and upon leadership, even upon my leadership, even in the house, upon he whom I have set as my servant, even in the house, I say yield, even in such times and even in such seasons as I would breathe, even such leading in this house, saith the Lord.
Amen. And that's the Lord's word to us. Can we say, Lord, we receive your word. We receive your word. Please, I just have this caution. Plan your life and be agile. Be agile to move. Be agile to move. I felt the Lord will also want me to say, when we first got married, as we set up home, you know, there's a way where you can set up home. And then you were setting up and like, yes, your home. Every woman wants a home. I won't forget, I was arranging my store. The Lord said, you do know that. And that was how he said it. You do know that I can actually ask you to leave all of this and move. He said, leave home in a way you can leave everything. Leave home in a way you can leave everything to obey me. Please, nothing must stop us from being a Christian worker. The Lord is giving that instruction to us as a house because he wants us to be raised and prepared so. Can we lift up our hands and say, Lord, we agree to your words. And we choose to allow you to lead us. The prophecy said, allow me. May we not be the one that is standing in the entrance of God reaching his people. May we not have the blood of saints, of men and women on our head. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinu Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.